BTR, bachelor till the rapture, until she came along. So, of course, that spoiled my plans there. But I'll go back. I was born in India, but I was raised in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I was a year old when my parents were called to the ministry, and the Lord opened up the doors for my grandpa to get their education done at Grand Rapids Baptist Theological Seminary. And so my first home, my first church, my first schooling, everything was in Grand Rapids. And so after that, of course, like she mentioned, after I graduated, went back to India. And actually, we, as a child, when I was 7 years old, we returned back to India. And that's when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. My path is quite different from Sandra's. I'm a fourth-generation Christian, which is very unique for India. If you know anything about India, we are the pagan world of the pagan worlds. We are heathenistic, paganism. I mean, you call it, everything is underneath the sun, resides in India. You know, you say that everything is big in Texas, everything is bigger in India. We are the number one country in the world right now with 1.44 billion people. We have the most number of religions in the world. We have the most number of ethnic groups in the world. We have the most unreached groups in the world. We have the most number of languages in the world. So I know all of us have missed the Tower of Babel in the Old Testament. Please visit India, and you can visit live 24/7. We have 500 languages and 1,500 different vocal sounds, 1,500 different dialects. So that's over 2,000 vocal sounds of communication taking place in one country. That's India. You talk about personal space, we don't have personal space. There's no such thing. Wherever you are sitting right now, make room for another four people. That's how crowded we are. We are four times larger than the USA. We are one-third the size in geography of the USA. So that gives you approximately a mental picture there. When I was young and I heard the gospel, I heard a preacher said, God has no grandchildren. And I said, wait a minute, time out. What? He has only children. God does not have any grandchildren. And I said, wait a minute. My parents are missionaries. My grandfather was a professor of Bible and theology during the times of the British. I mean, he was the first Indian to be offered ordination by the British government. He was part of the William Carey Institute, that William Carey established in Serampore. The other grandparent was the pastor of the largest Baptist church in town. And then my parents were missionaries. I said, we're in the family business. How close can you get? I mean, he said, no. He has only children, no grandchildren, and the only way to become his child is for you to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And my conversion experience wasn't something that I was in drugs and I was a bad kid and I came out of it. You know, mine was really plain and boring, if you would, because I grew up in the church. I was like the Samuel of the church. I was there in every meeting, every gospel meeting, every crusade, every Bible study, every service. You knew it, I was there. I had to be. I was my dad's chauffeur, so I had to drive him around. Made sure he got to those destinations, right? And so, but when he said that, it was more like C.S. Lewis says, right? That mine was more like an intellectual conversion experience. Then I realized and acknowledged that God, Jesus Christ, is my Lord and Savior, and I repented of my sin. At a very young age, I always wanted to serve the highest. I wanted my boss to be the greatest, and to me, there was nobody else than Jesus Christ. And so my biggest impact in my life were my parents. And so when everybody was trying to get to paradise, which is the USA, by the way, the land of opportunity, the land of plentiful, right? And when every other country, every other person is trying to get here, my parents were saying, no, we're returning back. He got a pushback from his own family. He said, what are you doing? Think about your kids. There's plenty of churches out here in the States that need you, and he's got offers to stay back and take up a pastorate. He said, no, my heartbeat and my calling is for my people, just like the Apostle Paul had for his own kinship. And the only way to get the gospel into India is through its nationals, because India has closed doors for foreign missions. And then the Lord has blessed us with allowing us to serve, going back to India when my dad passed away when I was in college. So once we finished, we went back there and picked up my dad's ministry as well as my grandpa's ministry. And we established six churches with six pastors, deacon boards, elders, and Sunday school teachers and superintendents and youth leaders. I mean, we were the first year we were running around in all six. It was just insane. We started Christmas morning at 5 a.m. and by the time we got back was past 1 a.m. the next day. So we said, yeah, we're going to change this quick. We're not going to do this next year. So that's when training, our shift, shifted into training of national leaders. God has been very good to us. So between India and South America, Uruguay, and also the U.S., we spent 3 decades of missionary work. And we returned when the market crashed in 2008. In 2009, we returned. And the church asked us, what's plan B? We said, we never had plan B. Plan A was always till the rapture comes, either Christ returns or the rapture happens, whichever comes, you know, we are there. And until then. And they said, well, you better start thinking about plan B because right now the doors are closing for you to go back. And so the Lord has taken us for the past decade in many other trials and many other vocations. And my pastors finally spoke to me and said, have you thought about Bibles International? I said, Pastor, you know that I know many languages. I know 4 languages. I've studied Hebrew. I studied Greek. I've done Sanskrit. I've done all that stuff. But I'm hardly a linguist. That's not my calling. That's not my gift. He said, no, why don't you go just talk to Joe? He's a projects manager over there. And then just talk, meet with him. I said, okay. So I met with Joe and he said, okay, I think you need to meet with our director. He's back in, he's in Africa at the moment. When he gets back, you meet with him. And so both Sandra and I met with the Finks, Tim and Sandy Fink. And they shared the ministry opportunity of advancement in communications. And this is what we did. One of the blessings we liked and enjoyed in ministry was actually visiting churches across the U.S. and sharing about the work of the Lord and the passion we had for his work across the nations and to share that with the body of Christ. And they said, you didn't, it didn't bother you going around and sharing, you know, the ministry and asking for money for the Lord and all that? I said, why? I'm asking money for the Lord. I'm not asking money for myself. And I'm giving the body of Christ the opportunity to be part of a mission endeavor that is bigger and greater than themselves, God's program of reaching the world. And so for us, it was exciting because one of the biggest fears for missionaries is to get up here and talk about ministry and raise funds. That's the number one deterrent, that people are afraid to go into missions. But our God Father owns everything on 1,000 hills. He owns everything. And all we're doing is we're connecting other people in the body of Christ to his glorious global program. So it was exciting. We prayed about it. We talked about it. And we said, you know, we are actually walking billboards for Bibles International. Because exactly what Bibles International is doing is our life story. You know, if her Bible was not in Spanish, and if I didn't have a Bible in my mother tongue, Telugu, and if we did not have Bibles in our other languages that we were able to minister in the 15 years that we were in India with Hindi and Urdu and Bengali and Telugu, where would we be? You could come to India as a visitor, and by God's grace, they may have an encounter with me, and you would share the gospel, and by the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, you convict me and bring me to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But after that, you leave. You tell me about this beautiful, wonderful Savior who came and rescued and died for me and all of these beautiful things. But how am I supposed to grow after that? Without his word. And that's where we said, you know, we're going to share this news around the nation to many of the churches that do not even know that we exist. And we're going to share with you about that. So this is where we came into with Bibles International. Better get my clicker real quick.
You know, we love the fact that we can come and visit people and share what God is doing and ask that you will pray for us and that you will join the team. Not everybody can go overseas, But you can support the Ministry of Bibles International through prayer, through gifts, and maybe one day you may be able to go.
How can you share the good news with all nations if the Bible isn't available in all languages? Bibles International bridges the gap by working to provide a reliable Bible translation in every language and a Bible in every hand. Our important ministry began in 1981 as part of Baptist Mid-Missions, an independent agency with hundreds of church-planting missionaries serving in multiple countries. They saw the need for Bibles in the languages of the local people, but adding time for translation to their already demanding responsibilities was overwhelming. Therefore, they established their own Bible society to provide the expertise necessary to translate the Bible accurately. God began adding capable, godly people, including nationals, to the team, and the ministry grew. There are lots of different ways to use your God-given skills to continue the vision and mission of Bibles International. Visit BiblesInt.org to see how you can bring God's Word to all people. Out of the 7,400 languages in the world, approximately 1,500 are in the process of translating the Bible, but over 2,000 have no work in progress at all. Will you help us? Become a Lifeline partner or invest in one of our translation projects with our Adopt a Language program. You are vital to our team. Thank you for helping us bring God's light to the world.
That's a very short overview of what Bibles International is in 2 minutes. We made this video after we got there because we said we want to be able to share across the nation to many of our churches in a service that doesn't take too long to just give them a taste and a glimpse of what God is doing around the world with Bibles International. This is our headquarters in Grand Rapids, Michigan. That's where it began in 1981. This is our 45th year anniversary that we are celebrating. And if you know that we are the Bible Society arm of Baptist Mid-Mission, which is right in your backyard. Baptist Mid-Mission has been here in Cleveland over 100 years, and we reached our golden jubilee. Yeah, that's not an Indian dance, by the way. Can you just forward to the next slide, please? Am I missing something? So Bibles International, like I said, we're celebrating our 45th anniversary. For the past 3 years, Sandra and I have been part of the Advancement and Communication Department. And you're saying, what in the world is that? Advancement is a fancy word now in the nonprofit ministry realm, which is for stewardship. And this is Dr. William Haas. He is the founder of Baptist Mid-Mission. And if you are well aware that he is the, when he went out to French Equatorial Africa in back in 1920, that's when he began the ministry. And he called, because he went inside the middle of Africa. Most missionaries, when they started going to the continent of Africa, they all started going to the coastal regions. Who doesn't love the beach, right? So, but he decided to go in. And when he went in, they began to be known as the middle agency, the agency that went to the middle of the people. And that's how we got our mid missions. So that stuck with us. And so when he went there and he started working there among the Songo people, and he started evangelizing, they started coming to know the Lord, and then he began to establish the local church, and then he wanted to start discipling them, and he realized, you know what, he hit a roadblock, which many missionaries around the world hit the same roadblock, and that is, he couldn't proceed any further because they didn't have the Word of God in their mother tongue. They had it in French, and they had it in Russian and German and English and Spanish and Telugu or Hindi, the major languages. But unless you studied those, it wasn't in your mother tongue. And majority of the people spoke their mother tongue. Not everybody was able to go to the university or colleges and study. And so he decided, as brilliant, he's a brilliant man, he was hardly a linguist, but he started translating the Word of God on his own. And that's where, even way before Bibles International began in 1981, he already had that vision and the foresight. And so we are have a very good God-honoring symbiotic relationship with Bibles International and BMM. Now moving on. These are three founders. Actually, the one in the middle is Paul Wersluis. Maybe some of you recognize that name. He started it in Grand Rapids in 1981, and then the trio, the one gentleman on the far right on the screen is Fred Carlson. He was the first administrator for the office, and the one on the left was our linguist, Dr. Henry Osborne. Every year, we meet once a year as a family, Bibles International family. We have a retreat, and we call it the Shack. It's not any shack. It's a really nice resort area. But the name is the Shack. And generally, those who are on furlough from the foreign fields of Bibles International missionaries, or BMM, and those who are in the home office in the area, we try to congregate and just to have a time of devotion, refreshing our souls, and giving thanks to the Lord and seeking direction as we go forward. And we usually have about 50 to 60 people. So this is our vision and passion for Bibles International. This is our theme, this is our motto here. Yeah, there you go. A reliable Bible translation in every language and a Bible in every hand. Wouldn't that be a great day?
Amen.
Wouldn't that come to? Go ahead, next, please. Yep. Oh, let's go back one. Okay. Yeah. Well, we all know the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Right? Can we recite this? This is the Great Commission that we know, right? And this Great Commission, the mandate was given to the church. Yes, your church. And who is the church? It's you. It's you and me. And it's not an option. He didn't say if you like it. He didn't say if it's in your spare time. This is the very purpose of the local church. As much as we love to fellowship and to be encouraged and to grow in His Word and to read the Bible and to pray together and share each other's burden, which we all need to do because Scripture teaches that too. But if we don't do this, we're a failure. We're missing the whole purpose of what God is trying to accomplish in this world through His local church. You know, God the Father sent His Son Jesus Christ for a specific purpose. In the same way, we are here as a church for a specific purpose. And that is to fulfill this. So, how does the church fulfill the Great Commission? This evening, I want to quickly propose to you, this is the way we need to go about if you want to have a successful Christmas missions program in your church. Think about it as a three-legged stool. A missions program has three legs like a tripod. You know, a tripod is only as good as the legs are strong. You're going to get a great picture for the camera if your tripod is a good tripod. It's steady, it's sturdy, and it has equal legs, and it gives that support. And then you get a balanced, beautiful, focused picture. Go ahead. The first leg, obviously in missions, we need church planting. Without church planting, without evangelism, it really doesn't mean anything for you to go overseas and learn another language and eat their food and mingle and fellowship with them. Then it's just an overseas party. You have to do church planting. Evangelism, the core of the Christian message is the kerygma, is the gospel, right? It's the virgin birth, the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the good news. The good news is not that I came from America. The good news is not that we have world peace. The good news is not we're eradicating world hunger. The good news is that the Savior came to the world, God himself, Jesus Christ, God-man, to die on the cross so that he could rescue and save you and me for eternity. Amen. That's the kerygma. We need church planting. Next. The second leg is we need theological education, which is discipleship, which is, it can be one-on-one. It can be more than one. It can be a formal setting where you can teach them and give them a certification. Or you can even escalate, say, hey, let's go and make it more formal and let's go to build a Bible college or even a Bible university. That's fine. But some sort of training has to happen so that you can train the nationals, because ultimately it's not about you and me. What is it? To make disciples of all nations. The mandate was given to every disciple. That means the people that we disciple will eventually have to pick up the baton, and they would need to keep doing what you were sent to do. And that is to fulfill the Great Commission. So we need theological education. Next. And the third I'm proposing is Bible translation. Because without the Word of God, you're going to go halfway and that's it. You're going to realize that I'm hitting a roadblock. How am I going to reach these people that they are lost? Now you can say, well, why don't we just teach everybody English? Easier said than done. How many of them can we teach English? You know, someone said that when you talk to somebody in another language, like common languages like German and Spanish and Hindi and, you know, Italian, you're speaking to their mind. But when you speak to someone in their own mother tongue, you're speaking to their heart. There's a difference there. And so Bible translation is absolutely needed and critical and vital for to fulfill the Great Commission. Because without it, people are never going to be able to grow in the truth and the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. How would I know that I need to, as a believer, that I need to follow the Great Commission? How would I know what Jesus taught in the Beatitudes? How would I know in the Old Testament who is Moses? Right? Who is Joseph? Who is Isaac? Abraham? How would I know all these stories? How do I know that God has progressively been revealing himself throughout generations? And he is here with us today in the dispensation of grace. Right? So theological education, church planting, and Bible translation. And then you would have a robust, successful missions program. Yeah, we'll skip this one. Oh, one more back, please. Further. That jumped real quick. Okay. We have 8.3 billion people. 8.28, but who's counting? So 8.3 billion people on the face of this earth, spread over 195 to 210, based on, again, who's counting the countries. That's the world we live in today, 2026, out of which we have 7,393 languages that are spoken currently today in our population of the world. Next. Out of which we have 801 completed Bible translations. Completed Bibles. Out of the 801, one is English. Now say it down to 800. Then you minus Spanish, Telugu, Hindi, German, Italian. And then you keep doing all the major lines. We have only 801. That's about just a slightly over 10% of the world languages. And we're already talking about Elon Musk putting people on Mars. And we don't have people on this earth without a scripture in their own language. Let that sink in. You know, I mentioned in the morning that how many about the English Bible. You know, today, this year, we are celebrating 500 years of celebrating the 500 years anniversary of the New Testament by William Tyndale. You have had the English scriptures in your hands for over 500 years. In 2026, people don't even have a single word. Forget about a verse of scripture in their language. If you count the number of, I talked about the number of versions, right, in the morning, and the challenge for you. John Wycliffe in 1382 to 1384 translated the first scriptures into the English language. Counting from then to today, 2026, do you know how many English versions of Bibles are out there? Anybody want to take a guess? 60. Pardon?
60. 801.
A little bit higher, brother. English Bibles alone are over 900 versions. More than the number of completed Bibles. I come from a country, like I mentioned, there are millions of people. Ethnic groups, unreached groups, do not have a single word of scripture in their own language. And I'm thinking, after 10, after 100, I'm thinking, is that enough? When is it enough? Another 1,835 have translated only the New Testament, the complete New Testament. That's where Bibles International does. The moment we get into a project and we start working with the ethnic group, we first translate the New Testament. And then, based on the readership and the feedback, and see how the people are growing and progressing and maturity and the eagerness, saying that now we want the Old Testament, we want to know actually how it all began, then we work on the Old Testament. Next. Then there are some limited scriptures, which means that when we start off, we actually, first book we translate and send it out as a trial edition is the book of Mark. And then we do Romans, or we do John. So, if you count those limited number of scriptures like the Psalms, the Proverbs, those kind of things, then that's another 1,516. So, if you add all that number and minus it from the 7,393 languages today, that's the number of people without scripture. Thanks. Let's look at that. That's 4,152. That's 3,241 languages still are not even touched. That's over 44% of world languages, right? That's over 1.5 billion people without the Word of God. This is Bibles International in a short snapshot. Here you have 47 projects across 15 different countries. We have 41 missionaries plus one couple and two singles on deputation. That one couple is Sandra and I. And we have 40 consultants and seven living in seven different countries. We have four affiliate offices, one in CAN, which is Creative Access Nation, which is my country, by the way. And then we have another one in Myanmar. And then we have one in South America. The new one is in South America, Peru, Lima, Peru. And the Third one, actually, that's the fourth. The third one is actually in Chad, Africa. If you count the number of people that work with Bibles International, that is our team in the U.S. side, our team who are working boots on the ground in foreign fields, and if you count all the volunteers and our national partners and the read and review committees, the sponsorship committees, and all these various groups that are all working with us, we are over 800 people. But that's not even an accurate number, because our real partners start from Bibles International Ministry begins from the local church and ends with the local church. We are not about in the business of translating the Word of God, publishing it, dedicating it, and say, let's go on to the next one. We are in the business of the Word of God transforming people's lives, people's communities, people's villages, people's countries. And it happens with the local church. And the way that takes place and transpires is that when we begin with the local church here, we are only an arm and the feet and the legs of the local church. God has not called Bibles International. God has called the local church. We are only here to support and carry out the mandate with the local church, not without. We are not a Bible society that stands alone. That is why we are blessed to belong to a church planting mission agency as Baptist Wind Mission, because that's where the connection is. That's what God has called. And so through the local church, if we added all the supporters of our local church, we would be a million plus easily. Strong. Because it takes literally a village. Next. This is a snapshot. You can take a look at it even outside on our table. This is a map. You can go online and you'll find the map there too. It tells you about all our projects in different areas of the world. The yellow ones are the complete Bibles. That means we're working on the Old Testament. That means they already had the New Testament. The New Testaments are only in the blue that are currently being worked on. Literacy only, because there are languages in the world that we go to these ethnic groups and people groups that they have only an oral language. They have nothing written. They don't even have an alphabet. So with our consultants and trained experts and with the nationals, they come up with an alphabet saying, this is what we want to be our alphabet. And we begin to put all that together and put a writing alphabet for them. And then we start teaching them how to read and write their own language. For many of these language projects, the very first production or publication is their Bible. They don't have any other things in their language. And then the next one is green, is scripture engagement. That is the end result. So after we get the Bible, now this department all along is through the process, but especially towards the end, now they're saying, okay, we have this beautiful, wonderful Word of God who's speaking to us in our language. God finally knows my language. It's not a white man's religion. It's not the God of the West. He is the God of all. Right? And so now he speaks my language. But how do I understand this? How do I read this? Yes, I can read. And so this is where it's discipleship on steroids, if you would. Now we're going there, pastors and part of the team, they go out there and start teaching them the Word of God, pastors and elders and teachers, and so that they would ultimately reach their people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are two ways to be specifically involved with Bibles International. One is called Life Adopt a Language, and that is usually where you ask the churches to come along and say, if you would like to come along and support a Bible project ministry. We have 47 projects currently in 15 different countries. Some are in the beginning stages, some are in the middle, and some are at the end. And so you can join anywhere in, and based on what the vision of the church is and where God is calling you to support, you can come in and join and give in that manner. And you are leaving a legacy for a lifetime. You're changing generations and families to come forever. Next. And the other one is called Lifeline Partners. We actually encourage a lot of individuals to jump on this board. And this is like giving faithfully to Bibles International, because what this helps is then it helps the leadership team to use the money where it's needed the most. And there might be a project that needs a little bit more push. And then we can say, okay, we have that flexibility because it's not designated to a particular project. It gives us the freedom to say, okay, let's push it towards this project. Let's put it over the finish line. Or let's use it for the seed money and get it off the ground. Here are some of the, we can just scroll these. Some of the pictures here you're going to see, doesn't matter what age they are thoroughly enjoying receiving the Word of God. And all of them you can see, it's a huge celebration and festival that goes on here. It's really, they have fireworks, they have, it's a feast. Thousands of people come out for this celebration and celebrate the Word of God. It's really literally like the harvest, bringing in the harvest. This lady is over 80 years old, and her prayer, she would go to the translator every year and say, is it done yet? Is it done yet? Is it done yet? Is it done yet? He said, no, not yet, not yet. It's almost getting there, getting there. And her prayer was, say, Lord, don't call me home until I get to see your word in my language. That day, her dream came true. Her prayers were answered. Here's a small glimpse of a very short video of the Tenek dedication in Mexico. This is our theme verse for Bibles International. The entrance of thy word giveth light. It makes the simple, understanding to the simple. 45 years, these are one of our inspirational pictures. Another story of these two gentlemen, how the Lord has given them the blessing and the opportunity to see this day come forward. At Bibles International, we speak a different language. Yeah, we speak a different language there at Bibles International when we join. They speak in acronyms. No one speaks a full sentence. So it's SED, TPD, AMD, ACD. I mean, everything's acronyms. So we said, okay, we're missionaries now, so we better follow suit. So we came up with our own. So we came up with FAST, Faithfully Advancing Scripture Together. So that's our calling for Sandra and ourselves. We have the privilege of serving at Bibles International, where ours is the fastest growing team. We were a team of one about 3 years ago when we joined, and now we are growing to be the largest team. We are over 11. Because there are churches here in the U.S. do not know that we even exist, and the need that is so much out there. There's a sense of urgency that I see, because more and more countries are closing doors, and we are being oppressed and persecuted, and they're squeezing us out. And the only way to get into these countries and to get the word of God into the hands of the believers so they can continue the great work of God and his mandate. So when I came to the States, when I came to the States, I struggled not with the wealth of the USA, not with the food, not with the culture. Like I said, I was born and raised here, so I don't even know where I belong, somewhere in the ocean maybe. What I struggled with was God's justice. How is God just? Romans 10 clearly says, faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. My people do not get to hear that. And here you get to hear the name of Jesus over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. How many times did you hear the name of Jesus just today? You hear it in churches, you hear it in radios, you hear it in concerts, you hear it in camps, you hear it in conferences, you hear it in literature. I mean, it's over and over and over again. To a point where people even use Jesus as a cuss word. People know more about Bill Gates and Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos than they know about the name of Jesus, the man, God, who has come to rescue mankind. The answer to our world. I started off by sharing with you that the number one populous country in the world is India. Go India. You know what my fear is? What's the population of India going to be in the kingdom of God? I can tell you it's not going to be number one. We need everyone's help. And time is running out. If you ever believe that Christ is coming back and he's coming back soon, we are living in the end times. And there are literally millions of people still waiting to enter the kingdom of God. There's plenty of room. It's not full. The gate has not been closed. And God is not turning anybody away. His prayer is that none should perish. Pastor mentioned this morning in Revelation chapter 7. Actually, Revelation chapter 5 and Revelation chapter 7. It talks about that every tongue and every tribe and of every nation will be there praising and worshiping God. So we know the end result. Our victory is guaranteed. All we have to do is follow the plan. That's all. We don't have to worry about the result. He's already taken care of it. Please continue to pray for us. We're asking that people would join us in prayer. When we were on the field, we knew that number one importance more than anything than finances, because finances the Lord will provide, trust me. But he's not going to make his people pray. That is where you need to come along. And we're asking you to join us in prayer support and financial support. People say, well, what is our ministry? Our ministry is not only faithfully advancing scripture here in the U.S., but all through the world. But by supporting us, we actually are the only missionaries on the staff that our ministry has a hand in every other aspect of BI in total. You support us, you're supporting scripture engagement. You support us, you're supporting TDPD. You're supporting PMD, projects, every missionary. Because we are the ones that are bringing everything to the surface and communicating God's truth and what the world needs. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Church. God bless you.